Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is up? Welcome back to Bleach Boys, talking episode 22 of Bleach Thousand Year Blood Wars, which is Marching Out the Zombies, and it kicks off right where episode 21 left off when it just went straight to fucking black. All of a sudden, Jose, welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. You know, I've been revived. You guys went and found the potions and the spell to bring me back.
Yep, that's correct.
I got trapped inside this dude's body for a little
bit. So you were here. We were using it as a stand-in for you.
I just couldn't say much, you know. I was stuck.
But you were here in spirit, and that's all that mattered.
Yeah, we definitely did not talk any shit or anything. So
I know they left me here for about like 2 weeks. I was in a dark garage.
Well, that, you know, that's between us, Jose. So
let's be honest, you get to be Grimjow for 2 weeks. That'd be kind of hype, right?
It'd be fantastic.
Even
if I could
you're
move.
Stuck in a bigger form.
I was so proud of myself.
So episode 22, we get the Ishida, Uryuchad, or Ahime continuation, and Pythes, I immediately, so there's two parts in this episode. One part I thought of Jose immediately, the other part I thought of you immediately, Pythes. Treachery plays.
Yes, it does. Treachery.
Hear it. Yes. Yeah. Just like a little snippet. And I'm like, damn. Like they totally just went back and put it over some of the scenes we already saw. I was like, they going balls out with this stuff. They had that nice little week rest. They're like, we're going to come back kicking.
Is it just me or was it like a weird kind of remix of Treachery? It sounded different.
Okay, so I looked it up, Pythes. Yeah. I was like, what is this song? Because it's not the normal one. And I guess it is an older version, but I think the title of this remix is called Treachery-Ominous Sound or something like that.
Okay.
And so it's been around for a while. It's an older one. It's, I guess, apparently already on Spotify and all that shit is where I found it. But it's not new.
I didn't realize it was playing until I heard the lyrics, and I was like, wait a second.
It was so funny. Somebody was like, yeah, I didn't realize that was the song. I thought Ishida was talking.
I felt the same way, too, for a split second.
Uh-huh. I thought Yuha was talking. I was like, did they not subtitle it?
It's like, why are they talking shit? They're walking away.
Finally, I understand Japanese.
Uh-huh. So funny, dude. But yeah, Treachery plays. Awesome song. Love it. 10 out of 10. I got to say, they threw a whole bunch of music in this episode. And it was fire all the way through, which we'll touch on as we get to it. So Yuha, Ishida, and Yugrim blast up to Squad Zero, and they fucking demolish everything that's underneath them with some strong fucking wind, stronger than when Ichigo showed up. And we see Renji saves Rukia. Shunsui gets protected by Nanao, and his other lieutenant is there as well, just kind of vibing, hanging out, having a good time. What is that guy's name?
I don't know. I thought it was Maki Maki at one point.
I think Okikibe, I believe its name is.
Okay. He's there having a good time as well. And then we see Orihime, Ichigo, Chad. They're fine. Obviously, they're protected by Orihime. And they're kind of checking in. Chad and Orihime are like, you guys okay? That was like Ishida. Ishigo's just pouting.
Did you guys forget the cute little embrace we got from Orihime?
All I saw was Ichigo sitting there looking like a bitch.
He was pouting in the rain.
Yeah, and even Chad is like, come on. It's like, we went through the same shit that you did. Like, what do you mean?
His homie, dude. His homie.
I like the part in this scene where Chad is like, listen, it's Ishida. Like, he's got to have a good reason for going over there. And that, I feel like that goes right back to what I was saying, where I don't like Ishida as the villain. Because you know he's a logical person. Very, very logical. Not going to go with his emotions. You know, time and time again, he's proved that he's a good guy. And I feel like Chad with that, he's like, come on. You know it's Ishida. He's going to be doing it for a reason. Let's not freak out about it. And he's the one that kind of pulls, like, Ichigo out of it.
Yeah, because, he makes Ichigo realize he's the only guy that could do whatever he's planning. And he has to have a good reason. And then gets hit with And if he doesn't have a good reason, I'll still kick his ass and bring him back. Exactly.
And like Ichigo gets prepped up, and it's after they have where they get the next song that they play is they have their fucking montage of all the old scenes of them together. That fucking banger as well. Just classic Bleach music making its comeback here.
What is the name of that track?
Can't tell you. Can't tell you.
Because I was going to bring that up, but I was like, how do I describe it? What's it called?
Everybody knows the song that plays through the montage. It's like it's the somber happy song that they play all the time through the original Bleach. Fantastic. Then we get the scene that Jose was saying where Ichigo's like, yeah, he's my Nakama. You know, I got to go ahead. They got to ask him why he's leaving us. And I'll say, if I don't like it, I'll smack him, drag him back down. Don't worry about it. And Chad and Orihime are also all on board for this as well. And that's where we get Urahara's appearance. And he's like, well, you know, a little bit late, but should I book us a ticket to the Soul Palace? And that's when we get the opening for the episode.
It was funnier in the manga.
Really?
Okay, so it starts. Ichigo is pouting. Chad picks him up over his head and throws him into a building.
Yeah, I do remember this.
Okay.
And Ichigo said, what the hell? And then they basically say the same shit they said in the anime, but they're yelling it back and forth to each other.
From across this giant, like, gap that he, you know, after throwing him. Whoa.
I like that.
So, like, yeah, Chad snaps Ichigo out of his funk. Ichigo says, you're right. Knowing how stubborn Uryu is, we won't be able to talk him out of it anyway. Chad says, yep. Then Ichigo says, we're going to chase him down, ask him what his reasoning is, and if it isn't good enough, we'll smack his ass and bring him back.
Damn, okay.
That's right.
And then the whole time, while they're talking shit about Uryu, Orihime's in the background, like, I don't think he'd be happy to hear that.
Of course.
And then it goes back to seeing Kisuke.
Okay, I like that a lot. It's two different versions, and I feel like the scene that we got in the anime goes in line with what we've seen time and time again in them doing, where they are toning down the humor to keep the more serious aspect of what is happening.
As much as I prefer the manga's version, I think it fits perfectly. That the anime version fits great.
Yeah, I agree.
They're keeping the theme, the thematic sadness of the whole thing. We're like, even when they're getting the happy reminiscing part, they're still kind of sad about it. They're still kind of like, damn, well, we're going to get our boy back. And they're not exactly going apeshit like nothing's happening.
Because, like, hey, their boy betrayed them. They got to find out why.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, both scenes are good.
They need the closure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we go back after the opening here, and we see the boy, the myth, the legend, Byakuya, and he is just surrounded himself with Senbanzakura, protecting himself from all the debris that's flying around.
That was badass. I was like, and reminds me a bit of Gaara.
Yeah, they just drop the debris off of him, and then we see he actually realizes that the Quincy's were actually going after the Royal Palace, not the Serite, and that's when we see Byakuya get surrounded by Candace. Our boy, Robert Acutrone, is there, and Na-Na-Na is there as well, where the fuck's up with that guy, but I would love to see this 1v3 fight. I think that would be fucking cool. I was very sad when they jumped away, but I knew it was coming. They were showing the reactions. I would have fucking loved to see more of that.
That would have been hype as shit.
Yeah, and there's a really neat scene with Robert Acutrone, which I personally like. They did a lot of all of this opening here, 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 for me personally, because they do little things. Like, there's a scene coming up that I personally love as well. But with Robert Acutrone, he looks over his shoulder back to where, like, the little hole in the roof disappeared. And it's kind of like he knows. Like, he's like, all right. Like, he knows what's happening next. He's like,
we're in the end game.
Yeah.
That might be foreshadowing for some crazy shit that happens to him specifically later.
I thought that was an incredible addition. And a second incredible addition that happens right in the opening. Komamura is shown with Lieutenant Iba. Fucking love that they did this. The whole scene, Lieutenant Iba gets up first. Then Komamura looks like he's potentially, you know, he looks like he's just knocked down. It looked like he was trapped under rubble for a little bit. But Komamura in his dog form is the first one to get up and just keeps walking towards where he last saw Yuha. And I'm like, dude, that scene is so fucking good. So good.
I'm not even going to lie. I was doing the pog face in real life.
Yeah, it was just really well done, and it makes me happy for Komamura.
I feel like even if we never see him again after that, I am totally satisfactory with that, because I like this idea of, like, even Komamura in his dog form, he's still, like, staying true to, like, going straight towards where he saw Yuha. Like, he's still going after Yuha. I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
So, like, the Iba thing, the Byakuya thing, all that shit, anime only. They didn't show that in the manga.
Which, like I said, for both scenes, great additions. Really, really good additions to the anime.
They're doing good. And also, all that, like, when they go up to the Soul Palace and, like, that weird, like, storm shit happens and all the rubble goes flying, you didn't really get to see that in the manga. You see a storm cloud and then people popping out. That's also an addition. It's great.
So then we, after the Byakuya scene, we get Renji, who has his big ass fucking monkey paw out protecting Rukia and asking if she felt it too. And they are basically both realizing that Ishida was up there with the enemy. And that's where we see our boy Basby. He arrives and he's like, oh, it's like, well, we're also pissed at Ishida. Like, let's, like, I'll help you. Let's go up there and kill his ass. And Renji gets mad because obviously they don't want to fucking kill Ishida. You know, so he blasts the rubble towards Basby and calls him a chicken head. And Basby at this point, he's like, I know you're not talking about my awesome razor sharp mohawk. And Renji starts comparing him to a chicken. It's like, what? You don't like chickens? Like, come on, they get up early, they lay eggs, like, they're fucking awesome. I respect that. And Basby is like, you know, I thought you were cool because of your razor sharp eyebrows, but I guess I was wrong. And Renji gets very bashful.
I love that interaction.
So good.
Their interaction's hilarious.
You're really a nice guy.
I love Rukia in the background being like, oh my god,
it's like, nice
no.
for you, nice for you. And Basby does burner finger four.
Yep.
I cannot exaggerate how hype I was to see this scene finally animated.
Me too. I was waiting for that interaction.
So I know this scene in particular, I think since Core 2 began and we were getting a lot of Basby stuff, people were very, very concerned that this scene was going to be cut.
Same. Just
especially with the line of them cutting a lot of the humor from the previous episodes and trying to keep it very serious. This was a favorite scene for a lot of people, and they were very much concerned that this was going to be cut, which it wasn't. And it was awesome.
I would have been so pissy about it.
Yeah, this is just like, and I've seen a lot of people, so I was online because I was actually off today, so I actually got to hang out all day on the fucking internet. A lot of people were giving this episode, not like a bad review, but like a 7 out of 10. And like, they're like, it's a decent 7 out of 10, not my favorite episode. You know, some people said, it's still a good episode, weakest of the arc. This might be my favorite fucking episode of Core 2, unironically.
I agree. I think
so
too.
It just has all of the right beats from the original Bleach series that made me fall in love with it.
It's got some sad stuff. It's got some funny stuff. It's got some neat interactions. It feels like Bleach.
And we've talked about before how I am a sucker for the episode after Climax happens.
Yeah.
Where they show reactions, people talking, people going about what they were doing. That felt like this to me. It was like a mid-season little pause where they're like showing where everybody is. We're seeing all the pieces on the board, what's happening. Loved it.
Like after Orihime goes to Wakamundo, you get the episode after where people going, oh, fuck, what are we going to do about it?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And this is like a restart point. It's a great like little checkpoint is where this is. And I loved it. After that, we go to Ikkaku and Yumichika, and they have Giselle just cornered, which this just starts the best part of the fucking episode.
Oh, my God.
Here.
Yes.
And she is going on and on about like, you can't possibly kill a defenseless woman. Like, that's surely against your code of man, yada, yada. And Yumichika is like, yeah, well, she's clearly trying to bait us here. Like, there's no way she'd be going that loud about it. And Ikkaku agrees. Like, yeah, yeah, totally. And Yumichika continues on saying, the fact that she's goading you this much to cut her must mean there's something about the act of cutting her that she wants. For example, getting hit with her blood could be dangerous. And Giselle continues to try to trick them. And Yumichika's like, well, while I'm at it exposing your monkey business, like, let me go ahead here. You're a guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
And he's still not like, And Yumichika goes, I know you're trying to hide it, but it's so obvious. And this is where, if you guys haven't seen, if you guys want to see the differences, check out our Instagram at the Weebs Guild, Twitter at the Weebs Guild or X, whatever you want to call it, or our TikTok as well. It's actually also open on YouTube. It's a short. There are two different versions of this scene.
I didn't know that until you posted that.
And credit where credit is due. I did not figure this out. It was James Hansen. He's another BBS YouTuber on Twitter. He pointed this out. Full on different set of dialogue. That there's like a couple of key phrases that gets cut from the Disney International release version. It's really Viz doing it. Disney is not calling the shots on this shit, but they knew to tailor it to an international version, which is fine. It still gets the point across. It's just less graphic.
Vulgar, maybe?
Yeah, vulgar. Yeah. There you go. It's less vulgar.
It is almost the same in the manga where they tone it down a little bit.
Yeah. And so I saw translation. So when I was posting it, there's a couple of comments where it seems like the one that straight up talks about semen, which is the big cut just to throw it out there. In the actual like OG, Yumichika's like, yeah, you reek of semen. You're a guy. In this one, they're like, you smell like a man, you know, which gets the same point across, just less vulgar, like as Jose was saying. In the Japanese version, they keep that shit in. They're like full yayi.
Yeah.
And I guess in the official English translation for Viz, it also is more in line with the version we got internationally, where they just kind of say you have the smell of a man or something like that. They don't go as vulgar even in the original English manga release.
I'm just saying, we have already seen Yuha semen like all season.
That's true. That's true, actually.
But they didn't say it.
Yeah,
though.
They didn't vocalize it.
Yep.
Also, hey, we got that dub of the Bambi scene. She kept
that dub.
I'm just saying.
I think you gotta take it where you can get it. I personally had no fucking, like, when I was watching the scene, did not register to me at all. They're like, oh, this is not how I remember it. And I totally just watched it. Yeah, cool. They left it in. Like, the reveal got its way across. They just toned it down a little bit.
I wouldn't have noticed if you hadn't pointed it out.
Yeah. So, interesting to note, if you guys want to watch both of them once again, check out our socials or head over to the YouTube Shorts on this page that you're watching. Let us know. Is this a big deal of a change to you, or who gives a fuck? Move on. Anyways, continuing with the episode, Giselle then summons Bambietta to attack them, and that's when we immediately cut back to Urahara, and Urahara and the Ichigo gang, who they will be now referred to as, are in the Squad 12 barracks, and he's explaining that Mayuri, ever since this thing initially happened, has been building a replica of the Kukaku cannon underneath the Squad 12 barracks because he just thought something like this literally might happen.
So smart. He's straight up Batman right
Even
now.
Even Ichigo was like, wow, I thought he was just a crack. But I mean, Urahara was like, no, he's a genius. Like, he's a fucking prodigy.
Not like him. Yeah, but
second,
you know,
to only him.
But, you know.
And then he says by the time that himself, like Urahara himself, got to there, he just helped put the finishing touches on. Like, it was already pretty much done. And he continues to explain that the Kukaku cannon cannot be easily replicated. So there's this kind of a one-shot fired off. It's probably going to break afterwards because they don't have the Kukaku family secret, so they can't do the same way that that Kukaku does. And Akon arrives and says the guest that you asked for his return from her assignment. And then Yodowichi just jumps down like fucking Batman, just out of the fucking blue, just like, yo, what up? Doesn't go through the door. We don't ever see her. Where the fuck she come from? He's just like, yo, I was here. I was hanging on the roof the whole time, and jumps down. So she's been collecting distortions that the Quincy's have been creating in the real world. The visored crew that is labeled fixing the super pain in the butt distortion between the world of the living and the Soul Society crew have been helping as well. The distortions are happening. They're creating this big mass of energy that they've been going around collecting. And we find out that the visors have been helping. Yodowichi's been helping. And they have this thing happen on the screen, which I thought was fucking funny. The visors are on screen and they're all kind of talking about, like, oh, okay, that makes sense, collecting the visors. The visors are talking about how the distortions look like a vagina.
Yeah.
The whole time that this is on screen. And they're like, it's kind of kinky is the correct words. And they're like tilting their head and like, yeah, it even looks kinky from this angle.
Yep.
Like the whole fucking thing. And there's a whole subtext of like Ichigo Nurahara going like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Totally. And they're just slowly analyzing this whole. I was like, all right, cool. Love the visors. Of course, Lisa's there. So that's going to happen, you know.
It's not going to get weird without Lisa, to be honest.
Yep. And so Urahara continues to explain that he doesn't actually know what the purpose of these distortions that they're creating are, but it's a massive concentration of energy powerful enough to connect two worlds, so obviously they can use them here to get up to the royal palace. And we go back to Yumachika and Kaku as they're being chased by Bambi all over the place, and I was genuinely shocked. Maybe I'm not remembering. Yumachika's smart as fuck. Really, really smart. Because he, once again, as they're running around, immediately figures out that they aren't just bombs that they're firing at people. They are turning the things they hit into bombs, which means they cannot be deflected by Ikaku's Bankai and Zanpakuto.
Well, Yumichika's always been smart from the very beginning.
Has he? I remember him fighting with Ganju, him fighting with Charlotte. It's always been a screaming match. You know, I've never seen him outplay somebody. And like the thing with Charlotte, I remember he just waited till Charlotte activated his ability so that he could be hidden. You know, I don't ever remember Yumachika being like a fucking god of knowledge.
I got to agree with Sam on this. His battle with Ganju was some Looney Tunes shit.
I don't remember that one.
Of him being exploded and falling into traps and shit.
Never mind. I do remember now.
Yeah, yeah. And then like all he did during the whole Aranka arc is like watch Ikaku almost get killed.
Mm-hmm.
You can't interfere in another man's fight, dude.
And then he got caught by the tentacle of Loopy.
Oh yeah, I remember they hated him.
And then he just let Charlotte use the attack, and then he drained her, and that's it.
Yeah, so like he has done some sort of 180 reflection where he's just become a smart motherfucker.
He said someone in Squad 11's got to be smart.
Yeah, he's it.
Here's the question. I'm sure there's an answer, but I'm too lazy. Who in Squad 11 does all the paperwork? Kenpachi's not going to fucking do it.
I would have to assume that they just know no paperwork is coming from Squad 11. It's just like one of those things where it's just like, we are not getting shit from them. Not worth the time. Not worth the effort. Forget it.
It is a Japanese organization. There is paperwork no matter what.
No, I don't think so. I see it as they probably like, listen, we're going to give you guys a secretary. And they ran the secretary off every time. Like, there was
it's
too
a new
violent.
One every week.
They hated fucking being there. They're like, fuck that shit. Maybe it's a special privilege of the Kenpachi. No paperwork.
All right, so I have two answers I'm thinking of. One is Ikaku does it.
Okay.
And I'd like to imagine that the reason that Toshiro always has a mountain of paperwork is they just give him Squad 11s.
Yes, that'd be hilarious.
They're just filtering it towards him. It's like, he'll do it.
They're putting it in his pile without him noticing.
I'm making it canon.
So back to the fight. Ikkaku now just is like, all right, our only choice is to fight while dodging then, and jumps up to try to attack Bambi. And Yumichika does Hado number 57, Daichin Tenyo. I don't know if I pronounced that correct, but he lifts up a whole bunch of rubble and sends it up flying with Ikkaku as well. So he has stuff to dodge off of. Once again, incredible fucking play by Yumichika.
Dude, their teamwork is fantastic.
Real, this fight as a whole, would have loved to see more of it. I feel like this was the closest we're getting to like a Jujutsu Kaisen 2v1 fight where they were actually working together and doing stuff. So Ikkaku jumps off these rocks, manages to slice Bambi in the throat. Doesn't work. Bambi's about to pop a point-blank explosion. Yumichika jumps up, cuts her hand off immediately. Like, he just knew. Boom.
That was badass.
Yeah, and so Giselle, unfortunately, is like, are you guys stupid? She's a zombie. Nothing you do can affect her. And so Bambi fucking launches a huge-ass point-blank explosion anyways and sends them fucking flying, which I just want to pause once again. Yumichika was on point. On point, ready to go. Had the Hado, immediately knew to cut off the arm to save Ikkaku. He was fucking good.
And that was without any information being transferred, yeah. Right?
He's like the Shikamaru. He was killing it.
Shikamaru'd it.
I would like to point out the only reason he's on point is because no one else is watching.
True. That is true.
If there were other Shinigami around, he'd be like, I can't use Akito. So when the squad 11 will make fun of me.
That's right. Yeah, but he was only allowed to go because his bro Ikkaku was the only one there. And they're like, they know everything about each other. It's like, yeah, fuck it. Let's do it.
True bromance right there.
If no one's watching, they can ball out.
I kind of hope with Kenpachi getting his Zanpakuto and his Shikai and all that stuff, that he's a bit more forward-facing now after Thousand Year Blood War, and like Yumichika doesn't have to worry about hiding that anymore.
I don't think Kenpachi would have ever been mad. I think it was his own going like, yeah, I don't want to disappoint the boys. Remember when like Hanatro, Kone and Hanatro's body hit Kenpachi with that laser? Kenpachi was like, that's hype, let's fight now.
Yep. Giselle goes to explain to the fucking now injured bodies of Ikkaku and Yumichika that turning Bambi into a zombie was not easy because it's not something that she could do to coincidence unless they're dead. So she had to squeeze the life out of her personally, and the look on Bambi's face got her so excited, which is another thing that was changed, but not that big of a deal. I'm just gonna blow past it.
No, fuck it. We're not blowing past it.
Go ahead.
In the original manga, she said it made her wet.
Yep.
And then in the Viz translation, it says, oh, it really got my juices flowing.
Once again, though, it falls in line with what I said with the original one. They just toned it down. They just made it less vulgar. You could still pick up the implications of what was said. It's just less vulgar.
I just like saying it because it's really funny.
Yeah,
it
that's
is
true.
Funny, and it's not something you would expect. If somebody like, yeah, I killed her, it made me fucking wet. It'd be like, all right.
You're
yeah.
like, all right, weirdo.
I remember reading that like years ago and thinking that's not something I thought I'd hear in Bleach.
Yeah, which it totally throws it off. It makes this weird character, and then that explains why Yumichika also like calls her a fucking pervert, you know.
In the manga, he says, wet, don't you mean something got hard? Yeah. I think I like the anime's version more of going, oh yeah, you're fucking weird.
Yeah. It also shortens down the interaction to keep it tight, as they've been doing this whole time. So Giselle continues to explain that on the other hand, for Soul Reapers, it's very easy for her, and just a splash of her blood turns them right into a zombie. So which one of you wants to be a zombie first? And just then, you know, a really bright light appears behind her, and
God
is standing there, and he's like, wow, the ability to turn people into zombies is an extremely interesting ability. And Giselle asks who he is, and he says, don't you know how great people often appear to be shining? And Giselle's like, that's not what I even asked you to.
Yep.
And this is where we get the title card. All the way like 3/4 of the way into the episode.
Yeah, I think we're like at minute 12 at this point or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is also where we saw your girl Nemu just hanging out right next to him.
I needed the shout out. She was
brief
there.
Little shout out right there. She was there.
She was not in her sundress, but I'm okay with it. She's back in the regular.
She's got the OG outfit. That's fine.
It's different. She's got the white sash with the red, and she's okay. Like, okay. There's red on her hands.
She's in her future ass kicking attire.
Hell yeah.
Ikkaku says that he can't see who it is because it's too bright, but it sounds like Miyuri. And Yuichi's like, homie, even if you couldn't see or hear, it's obviously Miyuri. He's the only one that would do that.
Yep.
And Bambi appears in front of Giselle, and Giselle's like, oh, you want to protect me? And Bambi's like, oh, I want your, and Giselle hits the fuck out of her and says that you'll get your treat when it's all over. And Bambi begs for her not to be angry because Bambi does not want to be punished, which was a pretty traumatic
It was insane. It was
display
a little gnarly
of Bambi, like, you know, with Bambi being this cocky kind of girl that we saw fighting Komamura. Damn, she fell hard.
She's got smacked. Yeah. Her hair pulled.
Yeah, she's fallen hard in terms of personality.
And guess what? It's about to get way worse.
Yeah.
So Mary's like watching this whole thing. He's like, hey, that's a nice thing you got going on there. And then he's toned down his brightness of his suit now. And says that he toned down his greatness. So even an ordinary person like you can see me now. And Giselle's just like, Bambi, do it. And she's now in her full standing and just shoots at Mary. Nemu and Mary just fly away. And Mary's just flying standing still. Just like he's not moving
Nemu
at all.
Grabbed him.
Yep. And so as they're flying away, Nemu opens a briefcase and they reveal a whole bunch of gray Pokeballs inside of it.
Hell
and
yeah.
Mary's like, said it's about like 3 seconds, and then they let them release and it sucks up all of the Bambi bombs that were shot at them. And then they blow up 3 seconds later now that they've dropped down to where Giselle and Bambi was, and Giselle just uses Bambi as a fucking shield, blocking the whole thing. And Giselle's like, what the fuck is that? Mary explains that the devices are a Reishi locking device and it halts the activity of Reishi for a preset amount of time. So they still became bombs when they got hit, but then they just paused the effect for 3 seconds. And he's like, great. Now the two of you can become my test subjects.
I love how he's just playing with it the whole time.
Yeah.
He's just like, all right, let me see if this actually works.
It's really, Mayuri is a great character. And like, I think if you didn't like Mayuri as a character, you probably did not like this episode. But I think Mayuri is just a fun fucking character all the way through and through. And I loved it. It was good.
It's fantastic. I think Kubo likes him a lot too.
He's much less harsh than what he was when he first appeared with Udyu though.
Oh, I know. 110%. He was a dick to my girl.
Yeah. Dick to Nemu. Full on made his subjects bombs. Like, he was a horrible person then, which to the part we'll get to later, he kind of softly justifies why he's attacking the zombies of them. He would have never have fucking done that in the OG Mayuri. He would have just slaughtered them.
Anytime Mayuri is not on screen, I'm asking, when's Mayuri coming on screen?
Because you know he's about to do something.
Mayuri was my nephew's favorite character when I let him play Bleach Brave Souls.
Hey.
Just because he looked like a fucking weirdo. Just immediately was like, I like that guy. And I made him his own account and everything. And you know, he get to choose a 6-star or whatever.
Yeah.
Mayuri.
He's like, this guy.
Yep. Thank you.
He has such a different fighting style. Everybody is, you're going to shoot a laser or you're going to swing a sword. He's like, all right, I got gadgets and I got weird science.
Mm-hmm. And he alters how he fights for every battle, which is cool.
He has never had the same fight twice.
Mm-hmm. So Giselle says, just the two of us, which two are you referencing? And she summons a whole bunch of fodder, like Soul Reaper zombies now. And she says that she's been creating zombies since the moment she got here. And Mary is like, well, this is a bit of a problem. And it says, even though they're zombies, they were once members of the 13 court guard squads. And he's just such a big ball of love. He doesn't have the heart in him to fight them. So he'll need someone with no attachment. So I'll just have these Roncars do it.
I know. And they pop up.
And
the
that's when we see Dordoni, Charlotte, Loopy, and Sarucci. And Charlotte immediately goes just shit talk mode instantly. just like, who is that fugly one that I see down there?
And is that you? Yeah. You? Me? I forgot.
Yeah, because I forgot that's right. I'm bad at remembering the names of fugly people. Yumichi gets just so fucking pissed.
Charlotte
stole
the show.
Well, let me kill you again so you'll remember. And Dordoni goes off on his own. He's like, well, where's the Nino? I was told that the Nino was going to be here. It's the only reason I came. And Tsuruchi is there because she wants to go after fucking Ishida as well. Yep. It's like, I want to pay him back for what he did to me. And Loopy, of all fucking people, is the calm and rational one. Is like, you guys need to chill out. Like, you know, we'll get our chances to achieve the goal soon. And both Dordoni and Tsuruchi are like, you don't know when that guy's going to change his mind. So we got to like act fast. And Mary zaps the fuck out of them, like with a shot collar, just immediately hits them all. And Mary continues on saying, this is where we find out this was a long awaited reveal. He says, it was worth stealing you from Xyloparo's vault. And that is something we saw way back in the fucking OG Bleach long, 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 long time ago. But he also did not hit Charlotte because he was minding his own business. And I think Mary says something about like he loves the way that they still scream in agony.
Yep.
And Charlotte's like, well, not me. And then he gets zapped and he's just like,
I liked it.
This whole scene had me laughing my ass off.
Yeah, it was so good. And that's what I'm saying. This was by far the funniest one. I love the amount of characters that were in it. It was a really good episode.
I love all four of these Arrancar that he brought back.
Yeah. Well, I love all three. I'm, you know, mediocre. I'm middle of the road on Loopy. Who actually likes Loopy?
Yeah, I don't like him.
We'll get there and can't figure your own world.
I know.
Yeah. So Giselle is like, I see you have your own zombies, but you think your four zombies can beat all of mine? And the Ronkers like, yeah, there's no way we'd lose the Soul Reapers. And they hop in and start fighting. Yumichika and Nakaku are yelling for them to stop. And this is where Mayuri comes in with some fucking facts here. And he's like, so what? And he said, he quotes, protect the Sarate. A squad member shall die in the court guard if one harms. And then that's one. If they'll die in the court guard. If one harms the court guard, one shall take one's own life. And he says, those were the words of a man you once respected, the former head captain. And Dordoni is just in the thick of it, just beating everybody's ass, dodging the blood as he's doing it. And Luffy's like, yeah, you don't gotta fucking dodge the blood. Like, Ikaku already got hit by that shit. It's like, nothing happens if it's the blood of the person who got infected by Giselle's blood. And Giselle's reattaching Bami's arm, and Charlotte, of all people, appears above them both. And Charlotte says, my instincts told me to fight you because you and I are very much alike.
When he said that, I started laughing. I'm like, damn, Charlotte. Good.
So Giselle commands Bambi to go after Charlotte, and Charlotte just fucking grabs Bambi's face and chucks her away from him. He says, I do not need to draw my sword to deal with a baby like you. And it hits the tower right next to Miyuri. And Miri's like, yeah, too bad you couldn't hit me. And Charlotte's like, oh no, my hand slipped.
Slipped. Oh no.
So funny, dude. And Bambi gets up and again charges back at Charlotte, which Charlotte is like, oh, since you're a zombie, I assume you're not going to stop unless I turn you into dust, and hits her with, here's the full move name.
Hey, I'm happy you're saying
kill,
it.
Special kill, beautiful Charlotte, cool horns, final, holy, wonderful, pretty, super, magnum, sexy, sexy, glamorous, Sero revived. The full thing, and he fucking team rockets her ass.
Yep, with a heart shape,
just
Sero.
Just sends her into the fucking sky.
And I'm going to give a shout out to the anime again. Just kind of shoots off a Sero when the manga doesn't give it a name.
Oh, awesome.
This is so Charlotte, though.
Great
it makes
addition.
Sense.
Really good. And I'm sorry, but like, I got to also give credit here to Charlotte, of all people. They strong as fuck.
Yeah.
Really, really strong. Like, he comes in and manhandles. Obviously, Bambi is in zombie mode now, but he manhandles the fuck out of Bambi.
So can't for your own world. They're just like, yeah, Mayuri made them stronger. Why wouldn't he?
Got it. Okay, so they explain that later. Because I was surprised. I was like, he came down and started beating ass. And I was like, oh, shit, okay. Hey, respect.
Also, hey, excuse you, Charlotte is a she.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Charlotte was beating ass, all right, all the way through and through. Do we see Bambi again after this?
Yeah, you'll see her. Unfortunately, she's not having a good time.
So Giselle sees this like, wow. I think Giselle said, wow, he's strong. So that's why I wrote my notes. He says, wow, he's strong. Looks like Bambi's not a match for him. And then she's like, fine, you can come out now, Mr. Captain, as we see zombie Hitsugaya appear. Yep. And Mayuri sees this like, this may be troublesome. And that's the end of the episode. So real quick, we get the poem for the next episode. And it's Mayuri. And he says, over and over again, an empty life. And Bleach 23 is titled Marching Out the Zombies 2.
Is this the first time we get a sequel to it? Not including like everything but the rain?
I think this is the first two-parter since season one.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so I've said it all the time since the recap and through that, you know, as we were talking about the episode, but fucking killer episode. I really, really enjoyed this episode. I think of Core 2, I had the best time watching this episode out of all the other ones. And I always like to tell people, like, when I'm talking about Bleach or, like, when we do the live streams like that, it's like, listen, I'm not a wealth of knowledge on this at all. Really not. I'm going to put you in here with me, Jose, and say we're both not Pythies. You are, obviously.
Well, we read Bleach weekly, and that's it. We never ever came back to it.
So I always describe us, the duo here. We are Bleach enjoyers. All right, we're not gonna memorize any of the stuff that happens. A lot of times we're gonna refer to the characters of that one guy that did that one fucking thing. You know, Jose's got a better memory than me, but most of the time we ain't there. All right. I fucking enjoyed this episode. I loved it. So that's why it's my favorite episode. It could maybe not be the best animated. It could not be the best, you know, fight sequences or anything. But I enjoyed the fuck out of this episode.
You enjoyed the calm after the storm and then the buildup again.
Well, and the fight with Ikaku and Bambi and Yumeshika was also ace, even though it was so short. I liked the one-upping of Mayuri and Giselle over and over again. It was really well done. I loved the Roncars returning. The whole thing was really, really good.
From the point of view of someone who has read Bleach over and over again, this was a really fun episode. I got to see a bunch of stuff I've been looking forward to for years. Animated well. I was laughing throughout the whole episode. This shit was funny. Even when like Ikaku and Yumichika are laying in the rubble, one who's that? It's fucking Mayuri. Who else would it be? I laughed at that too.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And this is something I was asking you guys, I think a couple episodes ago, when we got the three fire episodes in a row, I was like, aren't you guys going to get tired of like fight after fight after fight? And it's just like hype seriousness. Every fight is a new fucking stake. Everything. And this episode was a much needed, like, brief moment of humor.
It's nice to have an episode with a bunch of characters featured in it.
10 out of 10. And real quick, this is the last thing, and then we'll hand over to I got two quick things. I'll start with the least impactful one. They cut the scene of Yoruichi putting her hand in between Orihime's boobs.
Yeah.
So we didn't get Rukia's booty, and we didn't get hand between boobies.
So here's going to be my question to you, Jose, and Pythies. Do you guys actually care that scene got cut?
Yes.
Honestly, He did it so fast. Yeah. I would have loved to have seen something like that, but at the same time, the way it's going, it really didn't make sense for all that to happen at that time.
I agree. I'm not sad that it's cut because of the fan service. I'm sad that it's cut because it's Yoruichi just straight up going hard on Ichigo and Orihime shipping. Ichigo and Chad are sitting in the cannon, and Chad just goes, "Hey, Ichigo, so what do you think?" "About what?" "Oh, you know."
Oh, you're right. That's how it starts.
Orihime's clothes. And then Orihime's obviously embarrassed by it. And she goes, "Oh, I didn't do it on purpose. Kisuke told me to do it. She told me to wear it."
Of course.
And Ichigo's like, "Well, I mean, it is a you know, little bit revealing." And that's when Yoruichi comes in and just jams her hand right up between Orihime's cleavage. And then she just gives Ichigo a talking to and says, "Orihime doesn't like wearing it. She's not into it. She did it because a pervert tricked her into it. Just tell her she looks nice and that you want to sleep with her, you little punk."
Go straight to, "Yeah, I want to sleep with you."
And then Orihime is dying of embarrassment, and Kisuke says, "I didn't think this would cause so much of a stir, but I'm glad I took the effort to design it."
See, he's a fashion designer as well. He can do everything.
Well, they don't have a Shida, so somebody has to take up the mantle. You're right.
He's the man who brings a sewing kit for his cape.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's a bit of levity I would have liked, but I don't think it hurts the episode at all to cut it.
I think some of this stuff, and it's too much work, they'll never do it. I think some of the stuff that was cut, like these little fan favorite moments of comedy, would be a 10 out of 10 seller if they added it as bonus content on, like, the Blu-ray or, like,
oh yeah, 100%.
The final release when it hit the markets. But I don't think they'll do it because that's so much extra, like, voice acting work, animation, things like that. But I think people would die if they added that shit as, like, extended content into the releases.
Get the Thousand Year Blood War extended edition.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. When you guys were rewatching the Bleach dub, did you watch the illustrated picture books that would happen after each episode?
Like the cone stuff?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%, yeah. All the way through.
Yeah.
Okay, so just do that for this season. On the DVD, each episode gets, like, an illustrated picture book, and then it's just all the funny scenes they have to cut.
The past couple of episodes have straight up not had any after credit scenes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Do we vibe with that? Instead of putting stuff after credit, we just put it before? Do we like that better?
I like the credits to be the last thing that happens.
Okay.
I don't like having to, all right, do I watch the credits? Do I skip through it? I'm holding my cursor over to see if there's anything at the end. I don't like doing that. I just like, all right, credits hit, we're done.
Fair enough.
I'm the opposite. I like that there's stuff after the credits because, for an example, with Ishida dipping out the last episode, it just cut to black. Like, that was how they ended the episode. It was just like, Ishida, black. Then the fucking opening, I was like, hey, there's got to be an after credit scene or something. Nope, nothing. Get fucked.
And it was just dramatic.
That one was extremely long because then we just got the recap episode next. So there was just, like, nothing. And then the poems don't, you know, they don't lead up to anything. They don't tease anything. The best thing that we get is the title card. So I like when there's... It could even be like a 30-second little set after that. I think that's cool.
Well, let me make an addendum. I like the poem after the credits, and I like the name of the next episode. That's it.
I would easily go without both of those if they gave me a little oomph on the end.
I just think we're going to have to agree to disagree because I cannot agree with you on that.
All right. Here is my last point, then I'll pass it over to you, Pythies. Maybe you'll talk about this as well, but I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen a lot of comments recently on our Maki Maki video being on the where he appears to cheer on Kenpachi in the Grimmie fight, okay? A lot of the comments are like, oh, and then he fucking dies next episode. Then he fucking dies next episode. He did not die, okay? I got to set the record straight. There is not a single scene of Maki Maki after that initial shot where we saw him for the first time. So he clearly took his better judgment, saw the meteor coming down. He fucking bounced. All right. Maki Maki is not a brave guy. The moment he saw the meteor come down, he slipped away while everybody was looking up at the sky and he fucking hid. All right. He is not in the crowd. I went frame by frame, second by second on both Kenpachi getting jumped and the zombies that appear in this episode. Maki Maki is not there. He's not in any of the people that get squished. He's not in any of the people that get shocked. He's not in any of the people that originally died to Giselle. He's not in any of that shit. The people that get eaten by the bitch with a jaw. Okay? He's not anywhere in there. He's not part of the zombies that come to fight Mayuri. He's alive. All right?
Sam.
I don't know. Go ahead.
I did the same fucking thing.
You did?
Frame by frame by frame. I'm like, is the boy here? He's not. Yep. Okay, he's safe. That's all that matters.
Well, because so many people were telling me, like, sad face, he dies in the next episode, and then he dies the next episode, and then we see him, and he dies the next episode. I was like, where? Somebody give me a frame where this guy fucking dies. He doesn't die. He's not anywhere.
We don't ever see him again, right? He's never mentioned afterwards, even in the manga?
He didn't show up in the manga in that part.
Yeah, so no, he's not mentioned.
I meant, like, later on, like, towards the at the end of everything.
Nah, fuck that. He doesn't make it out of Soul Society.
He's not in there at all. So I don't know where you guys are getting this bullshit that my boy Maki Maki died, but he didn't.
That's how I felt about Grimmjow.
All right, well, listen, when Maki Maki appears in the Hell Arc, you guys are all gonna look fucking stupid.
He's a captain level. He's the new Shinigami now.
He's the new Kenpachi.
Oh God,
let's go, let's go,
Kenpachi Maki Maki.
We love to see that shit. We love to see that. Maybe he's doing the paperwork. I'm saying that's why he's a key contender for the paperwork doer. All right, pass it over to you, Pythies. Anything we missed? Anything you want to touch on from the episode?
Before we get to notes, I haven't talked to Jose in a minute, so let's get this now. Hey, Jose, did you see they fixed Ichigo's entrance?
Oh, yes, I did. Right away, the minute it came out, I'm like, nah, finally. Mm-hmm. I was all over that shit.
Just had to clear the air. So I wrote down the first thing we see in this episode is Orihime's massive fucking titties.
Tickle bitties.
Okay. Good that we noted that down. Want to make sure we know where the episode starts. Thank you.
They were just right there. Most of my notes are stuff we already talked about, like the anime-only stuff, the Chad stuff. So I have very little. So that the Kido that Yumichika used, Daichi Tenyo, it means groundswell dance.
Cool.
Okay, cool.
What a cool name. Groundswell dance for I'm going to throw a bunch of rocks at your face. Enjoy.
Boulders.
I mean, Byakuya had a bunch of fancy names for, and then I stabbed you with some flowers.
Yep.
Okay. Byakuya is cool. He deserves it.
Oh, man. I got some lore for that later. We'll talk about that maybe. I didn't say it when you were talking about it, but I said that ain't no ratio device. That's a fucking Pokeball. Okay, what legendary would my Yuri have? Go.
Has to be some sort of a poison type, I'm thinking. I'm not super familiar with the newer legendary, so I'm going to have to go back into my old bag of...
It'd be Zygrade or whatever his name is, right?
Which one's Zygrade?
Yes, it would.
It's like a green transforming kind of looking thingy.
Carry on. I'm going to Google up the picture of Zygrade.
I think that's
its
name.
It's Zygarde.
Zygarde, thank you.
You get a bunch of cells and you can turn it into a weird dog, or it turns into like a weird black and white dragon. I never made it into a dragon because I was too fucking lazy to collect all the parts.
There's so much you got to collect for him.
Like, that's a sick one. He would totally have that. That's sick.
Yeah, when it goes into that super form.
Well, I mean, my Yuri as he is now in the shining thing, he would get like Ultra Necrozma.
Yeah, I could see that.
Sam that's editing this put up Zygarde and Ultra Necrozma on screen.
Sure thing.
And I just wrote I was beyond hyped to see Don Panini again.
You love him. That's how I remember his
name.
We
talked about in our OG Bleach Boys how much we love fucking Don Panini. Like,
he was just
awesome.
Such a fun character, genuinely caring for Ichigo.
He's a piece of shit in one of the Zenkaimon levels on BBS, though. Absolute cocksucker. I think I got stuck there for an hour one time. Piece of shit.
I was fucking watching that stream. That shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh man, Scar was giving you such hell for that.
Dude, well, do you remember? I kept loading into the level with like 2 HP and he one-shot me. He has no flinch. You do a move, he walks right through it and he beats my ass.
That's why I just cheat. correction, I used to cheat. And then they were like, don't fucking do that again. We'll delete your account. So I just don't do Senkaimon anymore.
Oh,
nice.
Smart.
We gave up. And I wrote down, I forgot how much I really liked Charlotte.
Yeah.
Charlotte,
she was
fun.
Was the star of the episode.
Like, his fight with Yumichika, it was all right. I didn't hate it during the fake car Guru Town arc. But I always felt like it was a waste of time just get to the Espadas.
Well, the whole four fights at the corners always kind of felt like a little bit of the waste of time. Obviously, except for the Findor fight. Like, goddamn, that was incredible.
That one was fantastic.
But the rest of that shit always kind of felt like a little bit of a waste of time.
That's the part where it really feels like you could feel the editor saying, hey, the Roncar are popular. Put more of them in.
Mm-hmm.
But Charlotte was fun as shit. during this. I hope we, well, I know we get to see more, but we need to see more and more.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, can't fear your own world, right?
Yep, absolutely.
God, I hate that.
Well, Jose, you don't care about spoilers, so I'll tell you whatever you want to know anytime.
Oh, I like that.
I can't tell Sam anything because we got to save that. You got to be fresh. Yep.
I do want to go ahead and read all of it. It's
a genuinely good read.
But me and words, you know, we don't like each other. That's why I like manga, because there's pictures to help me out with it.
Jose, I'm making you a for real offer. If we have some days that match up, I will read the book to you.
Dude, like bedtime stories? Oh, I'd be so down.
My
girl would hate it.
We'll use camera, and I will show you all the pictures, too.
Let's go.
Anytime. An offer of a lifetime.
Before we did that episode one, I assumed that's what we were going to do. Like, I would sit here and I'd read the book to you and you two would react.
Okay. That'd be hilarious.
I'm down to read the book to you guys anytime you want.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
Story time with Pythies. And then I wrote, goddamn zombie Toshiro got the drip.
He does have that cool Stern Ritter coat.
Yeah, like, we did not talk about how cool. So one thing that I tweeted, and I hope they keep going forward, in Bleach Brave Souls, zombie Toshiro has the coolest fucking move effects.
He's got like that purple,
it's
right?
It's purple, yes. So I hope they've changed the colors of Soy Fawn shit from BBS to this one. I hope they keep the purple effect that he has now that he's a zombie, but I don't know if they will.
The Bambi's got their colored ones, too.
Although, in BBS, what's her name? Candace was yellow, and she's more greenish yellow in this anime.
Mm-hmm.
And Bambi's red is way more red. It's like a pale pink in BBS.
Yeah, so they're doing some changes to the colors, but I hope they keep the purple. At least maybe like a light purple. The purple was sick.
Purple's we're biased because we like purple.
Yeah, this is true. I love purple.
Mm-hmm. It's such a nice color.
Even the color palette, he's got like the uniform with the white and the silver, and he's got the gray skin and the white hair and the eyes. It's such a good look, man.
Beautiful.
I'm going to be gushing about it next week, too. And so about, I'm going to say, like the first part of the fight with Giselle and Yumichika, after that, it cuts to up in the Soul King Palace. So right now in the manga, Yuha and the boys are fighting Squad Zero.
Oh, it jumps that far ahead?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I think it's
they're happening simultaneously.
Oh, it's simultaneously. Yeah.
I saw before the episode even came out, I guess leaks happen all the time and shit like that. People were saying how that those scenes were not in the episode at all. There was no Yuha, no Squad Zero, no nothing, which a lot of people are like, oh, that's weird. Like that happens like right in the middle of the chapter. Great change. To just stick to what's happening down below, and then we'll go up top.
I think it's great. It builds up the anticipation to see it when it finally happens, and it keeps this episode nice and flowing, and it doesn't interrupt anything.
Yep, which I think is one of their key points with what they're choosing, what to cut, what to leave out, is does it keep the story flowing, and does it keep it kind of like focused on where it needs to go?
They've been doing really well. And speaking of story flow, end of volume 65.
Damn, we are fucking cruising.
There are 9 volumes left in the manga.
Damn.
We are schmoovin'.
Because we still have a little bit of this one left with the moved Yuha and Squad Zero stuff, but we're going to get Marching Out the Zombies Part 2 for the next one. So that, to me, is them, what we've all been thinking since, you know, we got halfway through this fucking series, is it's ending with the Ichibei fight for sure.
Yeah.
Has to be. Or at least the actual like fight with Squad Zero.
Which I think will be interesting because you think about it with part one, right? Part one ended on everything but the rain, the flashbacks, right? So if it ends with that Squad Zero confrontation, it's gonna end on action. Like this is gonna be an action packed fucking finale.
It's gonna be a crazy cliffhanger for it.
Yeah. Super.
I'm gonna put my two cents out there. I think it'd be so great if it ended on Shunsui visiting Aizen.
Oh,
just so I don't remember the order of things, but so this could be way off. So correct me if it is. I think it would be a great cliffhanger if it ends with Yuha stabbing the Soul King.
I think that's way further off, but it's been a hot minute.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I can't remember where that fall takes place in the story, but to me, that would be a sick cliffhanger where it's like the last thing we see is Yuha stabbing the Soul King.
Oh, wait. No, it can't be because Yuha doesn't stab the Soul King.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
But that'll be sick, man. Jose, I sent you some stuff on TikTok that you enjoyed, which was the Kubo answering questions. It's some stuff.
From yes.
Like the K Club. And so I thought the K Club. I thought I would end off my notes with some classic Pythies lore, which is somebody asked Kubo, what does Ichika think about Renji's eyebrows? And, Kubo answered, she thinks her dad's eyebrows have the coolest shape in the world.
Ah.
And that's all my notes.
Yeah. You can't be mad with Renji's eyebrows. It's the one thing you can't fault him for.
It's not Renji's fault. He keeps taking L's. That's Kubo's fault.
Tell that to Shinji.
Renji's a cool character. He just can't get a real win.
His design when he was first shown up, he was real cool, real menacing. So it's just after that he became a sad little puppy.
Yeah, but I mean he gets Rukia in the end, so I guess that's his W.
He cucks Ichigo. He wins. He and Chad are the winners.
Him and Chad, the world champion of boxing.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love it. It's my favorite thing that Kubo ever did. Chad just wins.
And what, all his other friends have, like, normal everyday jobs, right?
Ichigo's a translator. Like, Keigo's opening a ramen shop.
I thought that Ichigo turning into a translator originally was kind of interesting. And then when Kubo answers that, he's uniting two worlds. I was like, okay.
Yeah, that's a sick answer.
I was like, okay, Kubo. Fucking cool.
Kubo knows what the fuck he's doing.
Do you ever think that it's maybe a bad thing that Kubo's answering all these questions?
No, because there's stuff he's not answering.
He straight up said, for one, I forgot what the question was, but he goes, I can't answer this here.
Yeah, I was looking that up because I was like, what am I going to do for lore?
I streamed on TikTok for about an hour today, and I was talking with our boy Gabe. Love that guy. And somebody said that they thought it would be really cool to see, you know, one of the moves that Byakuya first used on Ichigo when they were fighting on the little hill that they like to fight on. And Byakuya goes, this is only the second time that I've had to use this move against somebody. And so someone asked Kubo, what was the first time? Yeah, he said that it's a secret, and he can't talk about it yet.
No, he said, I can't tell you yet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sick. Fucking sick.
I'm like, so we're going to get this, sir.
But and someone asked Kubo, hey, man, the Hell Arc Wars, that shit was really cool. When's the next one? He goes, I don't really like drawing under pressure, so maybe if you stop asking me about it, I'll do it.
That's never going to happen. He teased us so hard.
So everybody shut the fuck up and don't talk to Kubo, and we'll get a new Hell Arc. We'll get a new Hell
Arc. We all pretend like the Hell Arc never existed. It'll come out. It's like we all have to come together.
There's another thing where they were asking Kubo if he had anything to do with the mobile game, and he said, not a whole lot, but I saw a whole bunch of bikini art, so if you guys will send me the good porn, I'd appreciate it.
He said the male-oriented porn.
Hell yeah. He says,
I'm down to look at it. I'm like, my guy.
This is why
we follow you.
I appreciate his honesty.
Yeah. Well, he's just like at that phase now where it's like he's pretty much he was done for Bleach for a long time. Like he was just fucking done. And so he's just vibing. He's just doing his thing. He made one of the greats. He was at the top. Fuck it.
He's like one of the best selling manga of all time. One of the most popular. What does he have to hide now?
Exactly. And when he dresses up as Mayuri and gets drunk, that's hilarious.
That shit was great.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about for the Bleach episode?
No. Good episode. Really liked it.
Jose?
I love this one. It was hilarious. It's really like highs is where it left off on.
Yeah, I think it's doing a really good job of setting up things to come. The cliffhanger is really good with Zombie Hitsugaya, I think was incredible. I saw a few people going like, wait, when the fuck did that happen? Great twist. I don't think a lot of people saw it coming. I'm excited that we're getting part two of Marching for Zombies. Most excited for that the way that this seems to be going, it is just setting up that the last, you know, few episodes is going to be Squad Zero.
You think we're going to see Grimmjow at the end of this?
I am finding out more and more that all of the stuff after like this initial series of fights, I don't remember shit.
Yeah, it's a blur.
Mm-hmm. It'll take a hot minute before we see Grimmjow.
God damn it.
I'm thinking like either end of season or next season. It'll be next season probably.
I feel like it'll be next season. They'll open up with that and Nell.
I was going to say I could see them keeping it for season 3 and using it as the trailer reveal. You know how they kind of did with Shinji's Bankai? I could see them doing that.
I would be upset, but I already know what's happening.
Because, like, Grimmjow doesn't show up until it's, like, time to fight, like, the elite guard.
And I feel like they've already been setting up Aizen with that weird little glimpse of him that we saw with when all that smirk. Shit was happening. Yeah, where he didn't smirk, Jose. We saw no face.
I wanted a smirk.
So I think they're already setting up Aizen. So I think we'll probably get Aizen, some sort of interaction with him this season. And that's why I think they'll probably set up Grimmjow for the next season's, like, their other big reveal.
Aizen is such a good shit talker. I would watch a whole episode of him just talking trash to the whole cast.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody would. He's the fucking best.
Hey, I saw this thing on Twitter, and it was all the way back when he meets Zangetsu back in his world. And he gives him his name. I don't know. Is this
it's blacked out. It's blacked out? Blocks. Yeah.
Oh, you was saw that, that?
Was that actual Kubo planning ahead, being like, oh, Ichibe, you erased the name?
Yes, Kubo answered that, and he said, yes, it was.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
And he went, yeah, that was Ichibe rolling that out. Good, nice catch.
Okay, cool. I was like, huh.
If I was an author and somebody asked me that, I'd be like, yes, it was. Yes, yes, it was. Yes,
you figured it out, uh-huh. Dude.
I'm so glad that a smart young person such as yourself finally figured out what I was cooking there.
Hold on, let me write
jot that
down
on my notebook of facts.
Well, there was one during the Turn Back the Pendulum arc. Shunsui mentions that besides himself and Ukitake, Unohana and Yama are the longest serving captains, and they went. Wasn't Byaki's grandpa introduced in this arc? And Kubo was like, yeah, I just forgot about him.
No, Ginrei.
And so he says, I would like to pretend that was just Shunsui fucking up.
Yep.
That's good. Put that. It on Shunsui as a character.
He would.
All right, let's call it. Thank you guys for hanging out as always. Of course, if you have not, make sure you are subscribed. Make sure you're following the podcast wherever you do listen to it. And of course, check out our socials. That's where you keep up with all the clips. You can keep up with the discussion, the conversation. And we will see you guys next week for another episode. Should be another banger. Keep marching out the zombies number 2. As always, bye everybody. Have a good one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.